Father, bless these words to our hearts in Jesus' name. Turn in your Bibles, please, to Proverbs 23. In verse 23, buy the truth and sell it not. Also wisdom and instruction and understanding. Buy the truth and do not sell it. You're always buying, you're always selling. This is the human condition. It doesn't matter whether it's with God, it doesn't matter if it's something in the world, it's relationships, it's everything. You're always buying, you're always selling. What you want to make sure of is that you buy the right things. That you're buying the truth. Now, truth and fact are two different things. Sometimes people want to think they're the same thing. They're not. Fact is my interpretation of data gained by the empirical process. In other words, if it's scientifically empirical, it's done by experimentation, by observation. If it's personally empirical, it's done by seeing and hearing and through my senses. But it's something that is coming from me, evaluating the outside of me. Truth is the Word of God. Truth and fact are two different things. Facts change very quickly. Truth never changes. Buy the truth and don't sell it. Do whatever it takes to buy it. Do not tolerate in your own life the selling of truth. Sometimes people sell truth in very subtle ways. They'll live in their emotions and they'll sell truth. They'll live in their natural disposition and they will sell truth. They will live in insecurities and they will sell truth. Don't ever sell truth. Buy it. Sell your emotions. Sell your natural disposition. Sell your insecurities to buy truth. Don't ever sell truth to buy those things or anything else. Buy the truth and sell it not. Also wisdom and instruction and understanding. Why? Those are the things that build you in truth. If in John 17:17, I buy the truth, it sanctifies me. It sets me apart. It gives me capacity. It builds me unto God. It gives me the ability to live with God. Buy the truth also means you're buying your sanctification. You're buying your call. You're buying your life with God. Sanctification is the word hagiazo in the original language, and it means to separate from profane things and dedicate to God, to purify. Every person needs to be purified. The truth will purify you. We have an old sin nature. We have lust patterns. Everybody has one prevailing one. Most people are influenced by more than one. The truth will purify me from these effects, from these influences. There's a devil who is the god of this world system. He's actively working against me. Buying the truth and selling it not will protect me from his influences. The only way that I can be influenced by the enemy is if I sell some element of truth. I start to agree with the devil, and therefore, whenever I get into self-orientation, I'm selling the truth for the sake of self-orientation. I'm buying self-orientation and I'm selling the truth. I'm selling the Word of God, and in John 1:14, that necessarily means that I'm selling Christ himself. You buy the truth, you don't sell it. You stay faithful to the Word of God, you stay faithful to the hearing of the Word of God, you don't sell it for emotional conditions, you don't sell it for emotional satisfaction, you don't sell it for some sort of anything else out there, you don't sell it. You buy it, you don't sell it. You don't sell it for your preferences, you don't sell it because I don't feel like it today. You don't sell it because things aren't going just right. sometimes things don't go just right because you've sold the truth. And that's what you bought. You buy the truth, you don't sell it. You hold on to it. You keep it. You guard it. You protect it. You don't sell it. In John 14, verse 6, Jesus said, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father but by me." No one comes to the Father but by truth. If I sell the truth, I'm no longer in any kind of union or, for that matter, practical experiential relationship with the Father. Because Christ is the truth and no one comes to the Father but by Christ, if I sell the truth, I sell my relationship to God. Why do I go to church? Why are we faithful to receive the Word of God? Because I'm buying the truth. Why do I have a prayer life? Because I'm buying the truth. Why do I have convictions? Because I'm buying the truth. I'm not going to sell them. I'm going to buy the truth. I'm going to sell something else to buy the truth. I'm going to sell some personal time and buy the truth. I might sell some rest and buy the truth. I might sell comfort and buy the truth. I'm going to buy the truth. If you sell the truth, you're buying something else. Whatever it is, it's loss. Whatever is not of faith is sin. The blood of Christ removes all sin from time. Whatever it is that I bought outside of truth is loss. You may as well flush the truth if you're going to buy something else, because that's what you're doing. You buy the truth, you don't sell it. In Proverbs 16:6, by mercy and truth, iniquity is purged. Iniquity is self-orientation. Two things require, truth and mercy. Mercy, because I won't be condemned in mercy. Satan loves condemnation. Satan offers condemnation as a hiding place from conviction. That's why so many people, when they get convicted, they automatically hide in condemnation. They say, "Well, I feel condemned now." Why don't you just get right with God and you won't feel condemned? And the conviction will have done its job. You buy the truth, you don't sell it. You don't get condemned, you live in grace. You don't get condemned, you apply mercy. You don't get condemned, you apply the heart of God. You don't get condemned, you draw near to God instead of getting condemned. You buy the truth and you don't sell it. By mercy and truth, iniquity is purged. When I live in the truth, I will not be living in self-orientation. Satan does not have a place where there is no self-orientation. Where there is self-orientation, Satan is in charge. That's simple. That's why the tree of knowledge of good and evil in the garden. That was a tree of self-orientation. The first thing that happened when they ate from the tree of knowledge of good and evil is they started to hide from each other, got religious, hid themselves from God, didn't do them a lick of good. They called problems that were not problems. They didn't recognize the problems they had. Self-orientation does that. You buy the truth, you don't sell it. You don't let it go. You don't just, at the edges, get a little bit sloppy with truth. You buy the truth and you don't sell it. In John 16:13, the Holy Spirit is the Spirit of truth. If I sell the truth, I sell the influences of the Holy Spirit. And then, at first, the Holy Spirit is grieved, and if I continue, then He's quenched. Once He's quenched, He stops talking. He doesn't leave you if you're a believer, but how do you know you're a believer if you have no fellowship with the Holy Spirit? If the Holy Spirit is not guiding you in a still small voice, how do you know He's even there? You buy the truth, you don't sell it. You don't sell the truth. You don't sell the truth. In Galatians 5:7, you did run well. This happens to people sometimes. They have a good life with God. They're responding to Him. They're growing. Who hindered you that you should stop obeying the truth? Years ago, I won a young woman to Christ. She started coming to church. She started getting built up in the Word of God. She started to flourish. For the first time in many years, she was actually happy. She had joy in her life. Purity returned to her life. She forsook the sin that she was living in, and she was enjoying not living in sin. She had a great sense of relief and a great sense of cleansing from not living in sin. Then Satan, like he does with so many young people, especially when they're at that vulnerable point shortly after salvation, brings a guy, he's a preacher's kid. The fact that he was a preacher's kid in her mind was protection. In reality, it was a decoy. It made no difference whether he was a preacher's kid or not. It didn't matter if he was a preacher for that matter. The young fellow started taking her out to bars that had previously been a weakness for her before she was saved. And before long, she left church because the young fellow thought the pastor shouted too much when he was preaching conviction. The young fellow needed to get saved. I don't care if he was a preacher's kid. And 2 years later, when I saw her again, she said she no longer believed in God or the Bible. That's a type of fruit that Satan brings. She sold the truth. Satan brought somebody in who offered her something for the truth. She sold the truth. And what she received was emptiness. What she received was practical death. What she received was the loss of eternal rewards. What she received was the loss of the joy and the satisfaction that she had when she was right with God. She sold the truth. She didn't buy it. She sold it. Satan will always make you an offer for the truth. He does that with everyone. Satan will always make you an offer for the truth. Now, here's the problem with that. If I take Satan's offer and I stop living in the truth, how do I know I ever actually possessed it? If the Holy Spirit is inside of me and I walk away from truth, why is the Holy Spirit not screaming at me? Why is there no conviction in my heart? Why is there no heart sense of this is not good, don't go there? If the Holy Spirit is present, if He is not present, I'm not saved. Because everybody who's saved is indwelled by the Holy Spirit. Sometimes people think they're saved and they're not. They'll think they're saved because they prayed the sinner's prayer. They may think they're saved because they go to church. They may think they're saved because they were raised in a Christian family. If the Holy Spirit is not there, the person is not saved. That's by definition. In Matthew 7:21, Jesus said, "Not everyone who says to me, 'Lord, Lord,' shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he who does the will of my Father in heaven." So if I'm willing to step outside of truth, how can I be sure I'm saved? Well, I know I'm saved. How do you know you're saved? Is the fruit of the Holy Spirit present? How do you know you're saved? If you're in sin, are you being corrected? How do you know you're saved? If you refuse the correction, are you being chastised? If you refuse the chastisement, are you being scourged? If you're saved and you continue beyond scourging, God's going to take you home early. If none of that is happening, you're not saved if you live outside of the truth. Don't ever think that God's patience is God's indifference. God is very patient. But He is not at all indifferent. Don't ever think God's patience is God's indifference. By the truth, keep the truth. Simple as that. By the truth, keep the truth. In Isaiah 59, in verse 13, in transgressing and lying against the Lord, and departing from our God, speaking oppression and revolt, conceiving and uttering from the heart words of falsehood, justice is turned back. Righteousness stands afar off, for truth is fallen in the street, and equity cannot enter. So truth fails. And he who departs from evil makes himself a prey. Then the Lord saw it, and it displeased him. Today we are in this place. We talk about equity, but we deny equity. We talk about justice, but we deny justice. We talk about truth, but we deny truth. We talk about righteousness, but we deny righteousness. Today, in our country, and in several other countries, this is true as well. We are there. We are in a place where, in transgressing and lying against God, people depart from God. This whole transgender foolishness is demonic. People saying there's 52 genders, well, tell me what they are. And how is it that everybody just seems to be one of two of them? Even those who think they can identify with a gender that they're not. It's always the same two genders. How is it? Why? Truth has been sold. Lying against God. They conceive and utter words from the heart of falsehood. Don't let today's political agenda steal you from the truth because you think you're somehow being sensitive to whatever. Don't think just because you call yourself woke that you're right. That is a false righteousness based in self-orientation, and the bottom line is it's meanness based in a non-tolerant hatred of anyone who doesn't agree with you. Wake up, you woke person. Justice then becomes turned back. You can't say something somebody doesn't like anymore. You have to be canceled. Just read a headline this morning. The president made an ethnic slur. Nobody's really peeping about it. Can you imagine if a Christian made an ethnic slur? They would be out for that person's head. I'm not for ethnic slurs, but can you imagine? You see, there's the difference. Truth is denied by those who claim to be in truth. No, truth falls in the street. Truth is the Word of God. John 17:17, truth is the Word of God. You cannot deny the Word of God and still have truth. Truth is the Word of God. Don't tell me that turning back justice, don't tell me that you being intolerant or anybody being intolerant of another person's viewpoint, you may not agree with it, but you don't try to hurt the person for it. You don't try to shut them down. You don't say to them, well, you can't. This whole thing with the transgender thing or with the homosexual crowd, this LGBTQPRSTLMNOP thing, whatever other letters you want to throw in there, eventually they'll have the entire alphabet with some sort of deviance, that's sin. I don't care if you like it. I'm sorry, did I hurt your feelings by saying that it's sin? Did I offend you as you're trying to look for something to be offended about because your own life has nothing to be offended about in your privilege, even though you think everybody else is? Do you think that that's a problem that I said that? I'm so sorry. I told you your house is on fire. I should have just let you burn to death without saying a word, shouldn't I? It would have made you feel better. Grow up, you little whiny brat. Get out of your parents' basement. Get a life, get a job, and get an identity, get some truth in your life. Sin is sin, and God doesn't care if you're offended by that or not. Oh, well, then we have to cancel God. God's going to cancel you, you moron. That's what hell is about. Well, I don't believe in hell. God doesn't care what you believe. God made you. God made heaven. God made earth. God made hell. And guess where you're going to go if you keep denying Him? Moron. God's not interested in your petty little feelings, your petty little preferences, your petty little sensitivities. God is interested in truth. And you can claim anything you like, but you're here for a short time, and then reality's gonna set in. And you had better make sure you get in touch with that reality before it gets in touch with you. Equity, that they love to talk about so much nowadays, which they have no idea what it actually means, in the original language, it's nekocha. And it means truth from the Word of God. That's equity. You want equity, you bring in truth from the Word of God. These military woke types, stars and stripes, saying that 70% of the members in the military say it's so woke they would never say to somebody, go into the military. How are we going to fight a war when we have the enemies we have? How is anybody going to stand up for freedom when God initiates freedom? Freedom is the plan of God. No wonder the woke crowd is attacking freedom. They're not for the plan of God. You start sending these cross-dressers, these drag queens, to talk to children, that's demonic as hell. You don't do that. That's not truth. That's a lie. That's satanic. That is corrupting children. It's child abuse at best. You don't do that to children. And those parents who send their children to listen to that garbage should have their heads examined. Those are the ones where you need social services. Because that's just plain child abuse. These teachers who are telling five-year-olds that they're not the gender that they have. Oh, honey, are you really a boy? Are you really a girl? When the little kid is still trying to figure out how to not pick their nose, and you think they have the capacity for this? Are you serious? You're an idiot. You don't do that to children. That's child abuse. Even the homosexuals tend to say you don't do that to children. Even they recognize the serious nature of this. Only the extreme. And notice that our government now is fighting for the rights and the supremacy of that which is extremely deviant. If you're a cake baker or you're a photographer and you don't want to photograph a wedding that contradicts your faith, they say, well, you have to get rid of your faith and you have to become subservient to that which is deviant. That's not truth. That's not freedom. That's slavery and servitude to a deviant aristocracy. Well, we think this is outrageous. We should get you off the internet. God's going to get you off the planet. Believe me. Trust me on this. That's not an opinion. In Romans 1:21, they did not like to retain God in their knowledge. God gave them over to a debased mind. To do those things which are not fitting, to be filled with all unrighteousness, sexual immorality, wickedness, covetousness, maliciousness, full of envy, murder, strife, deceit, evil-mindedness, they are whisperers, backbiters, haters of God, violent, proud, boasters, inventors of evil things. How many inventors of evil things are there nowadays? Disobedient to parents. Forget disobedient to parents. They think that parents shouldn't even know if their kids are getting a sex change at 10. Undiscerning, untrustworthy, unloving, unforgiving, unmerciful. The woke crowd. Who, knowing the righteous judgment of God and those who practice such things are deserving of death, not only do the same, but also approve of those who practice them. Now, here's the thing about this. There are things that are unrighteous, like sexual immorality. Fornication sends people to hell. Well, I thought they were saved. No, they weren't saved. They've never been saved. If they can fornicate, they have not been saved. I'm sorry. If you're going out and you spending the night with some girl or with some guy and you're having sex with somebody you're not married to, you're not saved. That's what the Bible says. Thus says the Lord. Well, let's get rid of the Bible. You're still not saved. That's not going to change anything. You don't sleep around. You're not saved, and don't tell me you're saved if you're doing those things that the Bible says shows that you're not saved. You're not saved. You're going to go and you're going to have sex with somebody you're not married to, you're not saved, and don't try to claim you are because you're not. The Bible says you're not. You need to get saved the Bible way. If you are a homosexual, God bless you, I'll do anything I can to get you one to Christ. I'll get you anything I can to help you get out of that wicked sin. It's a wicked sin. You're not saved. Don't tell me you're saved, you're not saved. That's not hating you, that's loving you enough to tell you the truth of the matter so you can get saved. But you're not saved. If you are somebody who is a gossip, you're not saved. Satan is the accuser of the brethren. God tells you not to accuse the brethren in James 4:11. Revelation 12:10 tells us that accusation is the ministry of Satan. If you're accusing somebody, you've entered into the ministry of Satan, contrary to what God specifically told you to do, you're not saved. Don't tell me you are. You're not. The Bible says you're not. You need to get saved the Bible way. There is no grace. Oh, grace, grace. Isn't it all about grace? Yeah, it's all about grace. Grace is a government. Hebrews 4:12. There is a throne of grace. It's a seat of government, and God has a will, and God is the king. Don't tell me when God says that no homosexual, no adulterer, no fornicator, nobody who is into strife or malice, nobody who is a critic, nobody who is envious, nobody who is a murderer, nobody who is deceitful is saved. They're not saved. And don't think you are saved, you're not saved. Get saved, yes, by all means get saved. Get saved the Bible way. If you're out there and you think that you're saved and you can sleep around and you can be a homosexual and you can be a gossip or you can be a liar or you can be one of these critics or you can be unloving, unforgiving, unmerciful, you can be somebody who's inventor of evil thing or a boaster or violent or a hater of God, if you think that you can live in strife or murder, you're not saved. Period. The Bible says this. You can't claim salvation and do those things that God says indicate that you're not saved. Well, what about grace? Grace is a throne. What about grace? By the way, if you think that you can enable someone to sin, but not participate in the sin yourself, but you give them the means to do so, you're not saved either. In Matthew 8:7, woe to the world because of offenses, for offenses must come, but woe to the man by whom the offenses come. they're not saved. If you think to yourself that you can enable sin and still be okay with God, I've got news for you. You are in some deep deception. You're not saved. Be careful of things that God says are indicators. Watch them carefully. Because if you're sleeping around, if you're gossiping, if you're living in sexual immorality, LGBT, PQRST, XYZ, LMNOP, you're not saved. Well, I don't think you should be talking like this. I think that you've got a problem. Ezekiel 33, verse 6. If the watchman sees the sword coming and does not blow the trumpet, and the people are not warned, and the sword comes and takes any person from among them, he is taken away in his iniquity, but his blood I will require at the watchman's hand. I don't care if you like it or not. There's nothing that I could care about less than if you like it or not. In 2 Thessalonians 2:13, if I'm preaching or any other preacher is preaching from the Word of God, it's the Word of God. It's not the opinion of a man. It's the Word of God. I don't care if you don't like it. I don't care if you want to be foolish. I don't care if you want to be arrogant or stupid. The Word of God is the Word of God, and so long as it's the Word of God, I'm going to preach it. And sorry if you're offended. Sorry you're such a child. Sorry you're so tender and sensitive and fragile you can't handle even a breeze coming your way. Pity, baby. Romans 2:6. God will render to everyone according to his deeds. Let that sink in. God will render to everyone according to his deeds. But grace, what about grace? Verse 4. Do you despise the riches of his goodness and forbearance and long-suffering, not knowing that the goodness of God leads you to repentance? Don't say, what about grace, when you're being convicted of sin. Grace leads you to repentance. Grace leads you to forsake your sin. If you're going to live a life where you're sleeping around and you say, what about grace? Grace leads you to forsake your sin, not to enter into it. If you say grace is my justification or my protection to enter into sin, the Bible says you're not saved. That means if you were to die today, you would go into hell. 100% guaranteed, thus says the Lord. You're not saved. Get saved. The Bible way. Mean business with God. Christ didn't die so you could play games. Christ died to redeem you. In Revelation 21:8, the cowardly, unbelieving, abominable, murderers, sexually immoral, sorcerers, idolaters, all liars shall have their part in the lake of fire, which is the second death. all cowardly, don't have the backbone to stand up with God? Unbelieving, abominable. What does abominable mean anyway? 1 Timothy 1:16 says it's deceivers who profess to know God but deny Him in their actions. All those people who profess to know God but deny Him in their actions, deny Him by entering into those things that God says mean you're not saved, those people have their place in the lake of fire. Anyone who is a murderer, anyone who is sexually immoral, sex outside of marriage, if I need to spell it out, they have their place in the lake of fire. By the way, there is no grace that will save a fornicator. There is no grace that will save an adulterer. There is no grace that will save a homosexual unless these people repent of their sin. There is no grace that will save them. That's what the Bible tells you. Don't tell me that you possess the Holy Spirit living in you and you can simply live like hell. The first thing He's going to do is correct you if you are indeed saved and you enter into that. The second thing, if you ignore the correction, is He's going to chastise you. The third thing He's going to do if you ignore the chastisement is He's going to scourge you. He's going to bring you close to death. And if you ignore the scourging, He's going to take you home early. He's going to kill you. Because He's not going to let you make a life that's a total mess and become a devastatingly bad testimony if you're saved. But if you can enter into this kind of sin where you're gossiping or you're lying or you're somehow rebellious against God or you're sexually immoral or you're a homosexual or you're somebody who's constantly coveting something, if you can enter into that and not have the Holy Spirit bring you into a serious discipline program, that is an indicator that you've never been saved. It's not that you were saved and lost it. No, you never got saved in the first place. So the Holy Spirit never entered. If you're somebody who can constantly live in strife despite the presence of the Holy Spirit, how can you be sure you're saved? When the fruit of the Spirit is love? When the fruit of the Holy Spirit is patience and kindness? What's your foundation? Romans 1:24 says, God gave them up to uncleanness in the lust of their hearts to dishonor their bodies among themselves who exchanged the truth of God for a lie. They worship and serve the creature rather than the Creator. Well, you see, this is what I like. It makes me feel good. Well, I'm a human. I have needs, don't I? You worship the creature rather than the Creator.
But I love Him.
You're worshiping the creature more than the Creator. Get right with God. You don't worship the creature. You worship the Creator. One of the signs of perilous times that we're on today is that men are lovers of pleasure more than lovers of God. They worship the creature more than the Creator. You never do that. You never worship the creature more than the Creator. In Matthew 18:8, if your hand or foot causes you to sin, cut it off and cast it from you. For it's better for you to enter into life maimed rather than having two hands and two feet and be cast into everlasting fire. Get rid of whatever it is that's bringing you to sin. Because it's better to do without it than to go to hell. Don't try to claim grace when the God of all grace says this. You can't live in this kind of foolishness and have God be okay with it. In John 8:34, whoever commits sin is a slave to sin. But a slave does not live in the master's house. In John 4:23, the hour is coming and now is, when the true worshippers shall worship the Father in spirit and in truth. For the Father seeks such to worship Him. You don't sell the truth for your sin. You worship Him in spirit and in truth. The Spirit will guide you in all truth in John 16:23. You don't trade truth for sin. In Psalm 138 in verse 2, God magnifies His word above His name. God magnifies the truth, John 17:17, above His name, above His own character. He submits Himself to the word of God. He's not going to accept me not being submitted to the word of God when He Himself submits Himself to the word of God. In Romans 1:18, the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who hold the truth in unrighteousness. Holding the truth in unrighteousness means I have the word of God, but I don't respond to it. If you are living like this, get saved. Because you're not. Get saved the Bible way. Because you're not. In John 8:31, if you continue in my word, continuing in God's word, and in Hebrews 10:25 necessarily means you're going to church to get built up in the word of God, get taught the word of God, to have your relationship to God built, then you are my disciples indeed. And you will know the truth, and the truth will make you free. Did you know that the Word of God can deliver you from immorality? Did you know that the Word of God can deliver you from drug abuse? Yes, drug abuse are sorcerers in the Bible. The word is pharmakia. It's drug abuse when it talks about sorcerers. Those people, those sorcerers who have their place in the lake of fire, those are drug abusers. You can't do drugs and claim to be saved. I remember years ago when I worked in the emergency room, we had a 40-year-old man come in. He lived in a nursing home. He had to be in a nursing home because drugs destroyed his brain. He had a heart infection, so they took him to the ER. He was in a first-degree coma, which means you're not responsive, but you're not totally gone either. In his unconscious state, without knowing it, he was praying to Satan. Don't think for a moment that if you're doing drugs, if you're doing meth, or you're doing coke, or you're doing heroin or pot, yes, even pot, one of the leading causes of psychosis, pot, yes, the stuff they're trying to legalize. Every single person, in my experience, I'm not saying this is universally true, but in 10 years working in the emergency room, every single person who tried to commit suicide, and there were about two of them a week that we'd get in on my shifts, every one of them had THC in their system. That's the active ingredient in pot. So don't tell me pot is harmless. Every single one of them that tried to kill themselves. Why? It brings psychosis. It opens you up to the devil. As a matter of fact, it's a form of devil worship. Those cultures that worshipped the devil were into drugs. They smoked stuff that had the exact same effect as drugs have. That was part of their devil worship. So don't tell me that you can be into drugs and be saved at the same time. If you're saved and you're tempted by drugs, you're insane. It's like saying, I'm saved, but I'm tempted to go to hell. And you say, well, if I'm saved, I can't go to hell. That's right, so maybe you're not saved in the first place. Salvation is a gift, but it's not a game. God is not joking. God is very serious about salvation. God is very serious about the kingdom. God is very serious about our testimony. God is very serious about our lives. He paid with His blood to redeem them. The last Christian that I knew personally, or at least the one I knew about, who I did know personally, who decided to go from Christianity into drugs, was killed at a very young age. Was that the sin unto physical death? I don't know. But I know the circumstances of his death had to do with the fact that he was in drugs, and it wasn't an overdose. You know, God is a king, and as a king, he expects us to take him seriously like a king. When God says, love one another as I have loved you, it doesn't mean be nasty to each other. It doesn't mean react at each other. It doesn't mean live in the flesh toward each other. It doesn't mean criticize each other. It doesn't mean let your anger so shine. It means approach people in 1 Corinthians 13:4 with patience and kindness. Oh, but that's not what I'm feeling. Then get right with God. If He's living inside of you and the fruit of the Holy Spirit is love, it's much easier to love than to not love. It's much easier to be patient and kind than to not be patient and kind. It's much easier to be oriented toward Christ than to be oriented to self or your emotions or your insecurities or your hang-ups or whatever it is that you're oriented to. It's much easier to be oriented to Christ because He's living inside of you. Why be oriented to that which is not inside of you when you can be oriented to that which is? In Zechariah 8:8, they shall be my people, and I will be their God, in truth and in righteousness. I get into truth, and in Romans 3:22, I get into the righteousness that comes by faith, and then God can be my God, and I am His. It's not hard. But you can't go into those things that God says show that you're not saved and expect to be saved. You're much better off doing it God's way. These young people who commit fornication, they blow my mind. I always want to ask them, do you ever expect to be married, these single people? Do you ever expect to be married and invariably say yes? Then why are you unfaithful to your husband or your wife now? I wouldn't marry you in a million years if you thought you could be unfaithful to me even before I know you. What are you going to be like once I know you? No, you're not unfaithful to your spouse ever. Not now, not then, not even I don't know them. No, not even when you don't know them. As a matter of fact, that's when faithfulness is really shown. You don't do that. You don't go out and practice for divorce. You don't go out. You know what you're doing when you fornicate? You are programming through your biological chemistry your mind to attach itself to that person as a spouse, and now you're going to attach yourself to another spouse, and then another spouse, and then another spouse, and then you're going to get married to somebody? Good luck with that. No wonder Masters and Johnson say that 80% of marital incompatibility is due to premarital sex. Good luck with that. You've just messed yourself up through your own biochemistry. You don't do that. You don't attach yourself, be one with a harlot when you're supposed to be one with Christ. You don't do that. What in the world are you thinking? And the problem is, you're thinking that way because you lack the Holy Spirit. If you get saved, you'll have the Holy Spirit. God will be your God when it's in truth and righteousness. But if it's not in truth and it's not in righteousness, it's nothing at all. If this is touching you and you're listening to this online, get saved. Simple as that. Get saved. It's not hard. Just get saved. And let God get you right. Amen? If you don't know that you're going to go to heaven when you die, pray in your heart, Lord Jesus, I accept you as my Savior. I accept your gift of mercy and what you have done on the cross. Save my soul. Take me to heaven when I die. And give me a relationship with you now as you come into my heart and live.